Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you The Catholic Doctors, discussing medicine in light of church teaching. And now, The Catholic Doctors with Dr. Michael Parker and Dr. Will Turek.
Welcome to The Catholic Doctors Show, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. They finally unlocked the door and let me in. This is your co-host, Dr. Michael Parker, back with you on the show with Dr. Will Turek.
Welcome
Will, how are you
back
this week?
From a long hiatus.
Well, it is good to be back. I think I'm like every other right now, aren't I?
We're kind of skipping around here. That's okay. I still plan shows, and we still get them in. So.
And you do. And you do a great job. I think you did a great job with last week's show with Father Sizemore.
I think it was an excellent show.
No, I thought it was an excellent show.
Yeah.
Well, and so, you did a very nice job, and Father Sizemore has really carried you.
He really kicked my butt in that show.
Yeah. I was knocking on the door loud enough that you couldn't hear me.
He texted me several times. He's like, "Are you ever going to open the door?" No, I wasn't looking at my phone.
We can do this show without you, Dr. Parker.
It was not intended. The Lord obviously didn't intend for you to be on that show, but you were there in spirit.
I was there in spirit.
Just like another guest who's here in spirit and in body.
Yeah. There's St. Bernadette in studio with us today.
We have a first-class relic of St. Bernadette Subaru, and our guest brought her with him.
And that's Father Michael Dosh, who is the pastor of St. Patrick's Parish here in Columbus. But he's also, and I got to get this right, the spiritual director for the United States National Rosary Pilgrimage to Lourdes. Is that correct?
You got it right.
And the thing of it is that that's the capacity in which he's here today.
That's right. Because he's here to talk about Lourdes and the healing properties and the power of Lourdes to heal people from all faiths.
Absolutely. I mean, because last week we really, you know, cut to the core with Father David Sizemore, who does healing masses for the Charismatic Renewal Group here in Columbus, and he talked about the sacraments of healing, you know, and that was beautiful. We talked about the idea that Christ came to heal souls, but he also came to heal bodies, and both those were integral to his mission.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was something that, I mean, he's an amazing guest, aside from the fact that he's like a board member and chaplain and all this other stuff for St. Gabriel.
But that has nothing to do with that, right?
No, he's a great priest, and he does an amazing job of communicating.
Well, I think what's great is that we have so many priests here in the diocese that are associated with these healing powers of the Catholic Church.
Absolutely.
And Father Michael, how long have you been involved with the Lord's Pilgrimage?
That started 10 years ago. So actually, as soon as I was ordained a priest, I began. I was invited. And it was because of it was actually Lourdes that helped me discern my vocation back in 1997 when I went to the World Youth Days.
How did people know about that? I mean, they just heard your story and said, hey, you need to be hooked up with Lourdes?
Father Joseph Allen, Dominican friar, who's been doing this for over 30 years, going as a spiritual director, was the pastor of the parish I was assigned as a deacon for the summer. Mm-hmm. And when he heard my story about Lourdes and my great love for it, he talked to the pilgrimage director, the travel agent who organizes it, and said, you know, I have a newly ordained priest who I'd like to bring with us. And so they did, and we just hit it off. And so they've been asking me to go back ever since.
So Father, why don't you tell us briefly how did your healing? Because I know there's many people who haven't really necessarily heard this, how your healing plays into Lourdes.
Okay, so in 97, a number of physical problems, right? Diabetes, fibromyalgia, bad knees, all these sort of things. So I always heard stories of Lourdes from my mother and, you know, Archbishop Fulton Sheen's stories.
My grandmother went several times. Absolutely.
You know, so with that, I had the great interest. So I went. I was supposed to lead a group to World Youth Days. They canceled out on me. I'm going anyway. And I made a trip to go to Lourdes.
So this wasn't necessarily, you weren't like chasing a cure or something. You were just going because you thought, well, this is a spiritually, you know, charged place, and I'm going to go.
Yes, that's exactly the reason. And wanted to see it, loved Our Lady, so that was the reason. But of course, when you're waiting in lines for the baths, so that's the waters from the miraculous spring there at the cave, the grotto of Masabiel, where Our Lady appeared to Saint Bernadette in 1858. All sorts of miracles are attributed there, and so you're waiting in line for hours. Okay. Mm-hmm. Just queued up with all these people from all around the world, and they're praying the rosary in all these different languages. And I was there in line by myself, and you know, you start bargaining with God.
Is this a Martin Luther thing? You know, if you save me from this illness, I will become a priest.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly the sort of thing that's going on in my mind.
Okay.
So, you're praying to the Blessed Mother. You're talking to God, and you're thinking, well, you know, if you heal my diabetes, then I know I could be a missionary in Africa, which I probably couldn't be otherwise. So, you know, if that happens, then I know you want me to, you know, do such and such.
Give me a sign. Test God. Say, look, show me the money. Do it.
That, and I think it goes through a lot of our minds. But
right.
But when I was in that line, it was a moment of grace. It didn't come from me. You know, I was looking at everybody else and saying, you know, Blessed Mother, everybody here wants something from you. Mm-hmm. And it just sort of struck me. And then I just sort of had the grace to say and change my prayers and to say, you know, Blessed Mother, when I go into those waters, I'm not asking for anything. When I go in, you know, do with me whatever you want. And it was really a profound experience. It's the only time, and I've been in the baths many times, it's the only time I don't remember hyperventilating. It's so cold.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Oh, it's about 55 degrees. It's cold. And it was a profound experience. And I can't really put it to words. Still, as much as I've described it, but just knew for the whole rest of the trip that just loved the Blessed Mother. And it opened the doors. So that was 97. By 98, you know, August 97 to August 98, you know, within a year, I'm in the novitiate. Uh-huh. And just feel the Blessed Mother guiding me the whole time. And so, that was my great love. And I thought to myself, oh, you know, someday, you know, if I'm a priest, I'll get to go back to Lourdes again. I've been there over 20 times.
Yeah, I was going to say, you've been there quite a bit, haven't you?
I have. Oh, indeed.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and that's a profound story. I mean, it shows that when you're open to the Spirit, when you're open to the Blessed Mother's intervention and her spouse, the Holy Spirit, who in you know, makes this all happen, good things can happen and doors fling wide open.
Oh, amazing things happen. And it's always, when you approach the Lord, it's like any pilgrimage you might do, you have a sense of hopes and whatever, but the Lord always surprises us. What he does, he exceeds our expectations in so many ways, without fail. And I see it
right.
with the pilgrims on the trip, all of them. I sort of promised them a miracle because they're all going to experience something. Right. Most of them are not going to be healed.
Right.
But isn't what you did in the baths exactly what St. Bernadette did? I mean, the Blessed Mother appeared to St. Bernadette and said, I would like this from you. Mm-hmm. And when you got in there, she said, this is what I want from you.
Yes, there's definitely similar. There was so every time I go, there's sort of different grace attached with it. And I can remember one very clearly, because the Blessed Mother said to St. Bernadette, the waters are not for you. And it came to me very profoundly, praying in front of the grotto, that you know, I am privileged to have the great grace that St. Bernadette does of bringing other people to Our Lady. And that's greater than any healing, and that's exactly what Saint Bernard had, and she knew, you know, and she deeply appreciated, and she knew she wasn't going to be healed.
But think about it; it's all of these visionaries of the apparitions that are approved. They're always not for the person. Maybe the private revelation is sort of for that person, but it's also for all others. You know, you think about Juan Diego. Juan Diego was supposed to build a church. You know, well, how is he going to do that? He doesn't have any skills. He's a laborer. He goes to the bishop, and all of a sudden, you know, Castilian roses pour out of his, you know, his tilma, and all of a sudden the bishop's going nuts, and 5 million people become Catholic as a result of it, and that basilica stands today. You know,
it's multivalent. There are many layers. You start peeling away at the end, and that's not just, you know, the visionaries. That's that's all of us.
Right.
You see the Blessed Sacrament, and you're moved to repentance or whatever it may be. I mean, it's not just affecting you. It's affecting everybody else around you. Now, the grace of your baptism wasn't just for you. It's for the people you're going to meet. It's going to have you grow in virtues so that you can be, you know, just a good person of society, all of that.
Well, it's, and I think that that's true in that, you know, we're all connected. We talk about the communion of saints in that way. I mean, the fact of the matter is, you know, sin, that's why sin is so awful, is that because it disrupts everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we talk about in medicine, we talk about, you know, in the back of the eye is a syncytium, you know, or in the brain, all these nerves, it's a fancy term, all these nerves are connected, and one thing happens in one area and everything happens elsewhere. And that's the exact same thing that what you're talking about. Every grace that comes about in people's lives has a ripple effect throughout the entire of the cosmos.
No. It is definitely true. And you experience it in Lourdes as well. I mean, because a lot of the miracles don't even happen in Lourdes.
Right.
You hear stories of people bringing back water or interceding on behalf of somebody, and they get home and to find out somebody's been cured. One of my favorite miracles was I won't use her name, but there was a religious sister that I knew well who had a skin condition and so was bleeding and with a white habit it just doesn't work so well. So I'd heard about it and I just got back from Lourdes and I sent with another friar water and she calls me and she says, you know, Father Michael, Mary, you know, if the Blessed Mother was to heal me, that's fine, but I'm willing to carry this cross. You do not need to send me water from Lourdes. You know, that's just kind of the relationship we had. So you get chastised for this little act of charity. And then to her great mortification is that the next day she had to call me back because she used the water and she was healed.
And, you know, you were a proxy for her. And have you thought about that? At one time when I was at Mass and they were, you know, doing the rite of healing and they, you know, they had people lining up and everything, whoever it was on that particular Sunday, and my mother was dying. Mm-hmm. And you know, this was at the end of her life and she was riddled with cancer and she couldn't go to Mass anymore. So she was incapable of doing it. And I knew that she would go up there. And so I got it. Something told me I had to go in line. I wasn't sick. I felt fine, mm-hmm. but I let the priest anoint me and I offered that as myself as a proxy for her. And there was no healing physically. But the fact is, spiritually, there were great gifts, and her death, we've talked about on the show, it was a beautiful thing. It really was. It was as we talk about Saint Joseph, the patron of a holy death. It was a holy death.
Sure, and I think that, you know, that there's lots of stories going on, and I want to get into that when we start talking again. But you're listening to the Catholic Doctor Show, a production of Saint Gabriel Catholic Radio. You can find us on Facebook at the Catholic Doctors page on Facebook.com.
Posted a bunch of stuff today.
Yeah, I hear that. I don't go on Facebook, but our Twitter account is growing.
You know, we should have some kind of a syncytium between our Twitter and our Facebook accounts.
You know, if you keep doing that, there's going to be an eponymous disease here.
You know, we're both highly educated men, aren't we?
Don't tell anybody.
And we're proving
that.
It. We're proving it right now.
Well, there's going to be an eponymous disease named after you.
Yeek.
If anybody knows that, send it to us on Twitter. You can find us at Catholic Doctors. That's our Twitter feed. But you can find us there and listen to us weekly on Wednesdays and Sundays locally. Father, it's, you know, Lourdes is one of those pilgrimages where everybody really wants to go to, and everybody has their different stories of all of those different things. But other than your story itself, what's one that really sticks out to you?
Well, one of the clearest, amazing sort of healing miracles that experience about a young girl and a broken arm. So, and you'll appreciate it. She was the daughter of a doctor, and the doctor that was accompanying the pilgrimage. And she would, this doctor would bring her children to Lourdes for you know, after the first communion. And so she brought the twin girls, and the one girl had broken her arm badly on a trampoline accident. She was sitting in front of it, and an older child fell on top of her, and the arm snapped at the elbow. The surgeon that tried to set it said the swelling was so bad, he had to take the pins out, and we had to wait for the swelling to go down, but only because, you know, your mom's a doctor, am I allowing you to go on this trip to Lourdes? Mm-hmm. So she goes, and I see little Colleen. She's got the sling when she gets there. She's in a different hotel just because of the size of the group. We use a few hotels. My sister's on that trip. Oh, she's not listening. My sister was on that trip, and so she tells me, you know, "Oh, Colleen was healed." So excited, I'm like, okay, you know, because you hear it all the time. Somebody's got a sprained wrist, you know, a twisted ankle. You go in the water, you come out, you feel fine. Okay, it wasn't a healing. Maybe, you know, maybe it was just adrenaline. Who knows?
Or the 55 degree water.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Swelling went away like that.
That's miraculous.
But I didn't. There wasn't much made of it. Didn't think of it. But so with that broken arm, Colleen had gone. Mom went into the water first. Then her twin sister, and must, you know, telling the attendants at the bath, you know, be very careful, trying to communicate in different languages. In the water, Colleen had gone in first, and when Mom had come out, you know, Colleen just moving her arm. Said, "Mom, my arm feels strong. It was just healed in an instant. You know, complete break, boom, healed." But the best part for me in the story is that I was there. Somebody even told me it had happened, but it just didn't set with me. I didn't catch it, and so it really wasn't until a year later, when I'm sitting at the table with the same doctor, that she shares this story with me, and I realize, you know, a miracle happened on my pilgrimage, and I didn't even notice it. It was a real lesson for me that miracles happen all the time.
Uh-huh.
Right. And so often we don't catch it.
Yeah.
Now, did her doctor do x-rays when she got back, and they found it was completely healed?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, it was completely healed. I mean, she had all use. So it's actually being pursued now by the Medical Bureau in Lourdes, which...
To make sure that they can sanction it.
Well, to look at the possibility of being on the approved. Realize there's... something like 9,000 cases like this,
right,
that have not ever been approved. There's only, it was 68, it's a little bit more than that now. I think it might be up to 70. Because they're very thorough in their examinations. Mm-hmm. You have to have everything lined up and together.
Sort of like the causes of saints.
Yes, it's very similar.
Yeah.
But it's being pursued. But at first, you know, the doctor that I know, she's like, well, you know, I showed the surgeon. He was astounded, but... you know, he's not Catholic. He didn't quite understand it and sort of dismissed it, and we're not doing anything. So my reaction was, come on. You know, you go, you see, you know how the Medical Bureau works. So it is being looked at.
But there's a lot of skepticism. I mean, you know, I mean, we all encounter stuff every day, Mike, you know, where you go, you can't really explain something that happened, but you go, oh, is that a cure? Did God intervene? Did they, you know, they're Pentecostal, somebody prayed over them? I don't know. I mean...
we've had similar cases locally.
Yeah.
And there was a person who came in for surgery to have a toe amputated at a local hospital. And somebody decided they'd come in and pray for them. And then when the doctor came in to look at the foot and make sure everything was okay.
It happens.
It was perfectly normal.
It happens.
It,
I mean, it's amazing sometimes. But you know what I wanted to ask you about is that, you know, you've seen these cures, you've seen these, you know, you've seen the wall of crutches, and I'm sure, and I forget in French, isn't there a word for it? I don't know French, obviously, but there's a...
Oui.
Oui, thank you. All right. But have you ever thought about this, that, you know, I always remember that thing. If God ever cured me of something, you know, remember the 10 lepers, you know, and Christ says, is no one come back? You know, is only this foreigner come back to thank God for his healing? You know, and I mean, I wonder, after it's all the aftermath, you know, do people come back with you know, grateful hearts? Do they, like the Mexicans going down to Guadalupe and going on their knees for miles, you know, bloody knees? Or do we find this gratitude for these healings?
Yes and no. So you definitely see the people where graces have penetrated and their lives have in many ways changed, often spiritual healings, not necessarily physical, and will make annual pilgrimages. Or the volunteers, many of the volunteers, and there were thousands at Lourdes, not just the baths, but all the different components, a lot of them were somehow impacted by Lourdes. And so as a spirit of Thanksgiving, they go back every year. That's where they take their vacation. They go for 2 weeks and volunteer at Lourdes.
Yeah.
But you see the other things, because especially when the band is being spiritual directors, is meeting a lot of the other directors, and we'll swap stories. But you hear stories of people that have actually received physical healings, complete and amazing, and subsequently left the faith.
Yeah. I'm sure that's happened.
I mean, is it possible those healings were from other reasons?
I mean, not
physical. I mean, demonic, more or less. Is it possible?
It is possible, because the devil will mask things. But these, for the most part, seem like genuine healings. And then you just have somebody sort of drift away and for one reason or the other. You know, certainly demonics at work, because, you know, I mean, just like the devil likes to go after priests, he likes to go after somebody that has some public notoriety.
Medjugorje comes to mind.
Sure.
We don't know at this point. The Holy Father is trying to eventually, very soon, is going to come out with a decision about Medjugorje. And, I mean, beautiful things have happened as a result in spiritual lives and healings and all sorts of things from 1981 to this day. And yet, this may not be of God.
Right. You have that. Plus, you also have part of the consternation for those examining something like Medjugorje is that you see some people involved that have done some wicked things.
Yeah.
And so looking at all those fruits is what causes you know, the church to try to examine and figure
out.
Absolutely. Now, Father, you mentioned what you did when you were in line. As a spiritual director, is there a way that you prepare the people to be in line and what they do while they're in line there before they enter the baths?
That's a good question.
Yes. I recommend anybody that goes to Lourdes, go and spend time. Now, if you're only going to get to Europe once and you want to try to see, you know, Fatima and Lourdes and Rome all in one package, fine. It's a once-a-lifetime chance. But really, the way to go to Lourdes is go and stay. There's multiple things we do to try to prepare people. A little bit of notification beforehand, but at the opening mass, a lot of explanations. Plus, it's basically a week-long retreat the way that we do it. And so there's different components. The sacraments are huge. So confession, anointing for anybody that's eligible, all those pieces, stations of the cross, but you condition them, and many want to get to the baths right away. So you explain the story, you do an orientation tour of the, it's a huge campus. I mean, it's a vast place. A week is not time enough to see everything, but a lot of people, especially children, they always want their parents, and so they'll go into the baths multiple times. There's something that the young people really like about waiting, the expectation, and then going to the freezing cold water and coming out again, and just knowing the Blessed Mother's love through 55-degree water. It's amazing to see the children. The children are delightful when they're there.
Well, you know, Father Robert Barron, in his Catholicism series, used Lourdes quite a bit. I think he's very fond of, if nothing else, the pageantry of it, and the visual was just amazing. The walk with the candles and so forth, it was just unreal.
Oh, it's visually splendid. Our Lady, when she appeared there, asked for people, build a church and to come in procession. And the word in local dialect for procession was the same as for pilgrimage. But so you had these processions, and you also, she appeared in a grotto, in a cave near water. It's very different than some of the other places. What's missing in Fatima when you go there is no remarkable geography. She appeared in a tree, and then everybody broke off branches from it, so the tree died. So you have a sort of modern chapel where it had happened. But in Lourdes, you still got the grotto.
At the time,
you still
it was just mud. The miracle of the sun, these people are getting drenched, and they're in mud. That's all it was. So, yeah, I mean, it's just a visually appealing way to honor the Blessed Mother. I mean, to have all these people in procession, and just in prayer and really in the spirit. Every time I see it, I'm just amazed.
It's remarkable. Even Disney with Fantasia, he's not a friend to Catholics, but you can see at the very end of it.
He ends
the movie with the scene of the Marian procession.
You're right.
With the pilgrims, I always, if we're there for an extended period of time, I encourage some of them to go up and view it, sort of aerial view from up in the church. You look at it, the procession, and you're just looking at it, and you see, you get this feeling, look at all these people. They're all in love with the same woman.
Mm-hmm. Blessing, right. Father.
Right.
Hit us.
Well, first I want to ask him, if people are interested in going on a pilgrimage with you, how can they get information to do that?
Go to the website, www.pilgrimage.com or you just search on U.S. National Rosary Pilgrimage and you'll find it.
Quick blessing, Father.
Lord God, we ask your blessing upon all of our listeners, upon us here, through the intercession of St. Bernadette as well, but may we ever draw closer to Our Lady, and may we experience the healing power of our God through Our Lady's great love for us. May Almighty God bless each and every one of you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thanks, Father.
Father Michael, thanks again for coming back on the Catholic Doctors Show, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, and for bringing in St. Bernadette with you.
She's been a
pleasure to
have
her on the show. She's such a quiet young lady.
I know.
We want to thank you once again for listening to the Catholic Doctors Show, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. Until next week, we hope your week is happy, healthy, and holy.
God bless.
The Catholic Doctors is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of The Catholic Doctors with Dr. Michael Parker and Dr. Will Turek are available at stgabrielradio.com.